artist Carol Prusa, whose three-dimensional dome-shaped drawings are on display at the Fine Arts Gallery on the University of Arkansas campus in Fayetteville, was in town last week to give a talk and have an artist reception for her exhibit Non-Equilibrium. She stopped by the KUAF studios to talk to us about these works. I read that your background was you were first trained as a medical illustrator. And so I was wondering, first of all, what drew you to going into that field, and then what got you to go into a separate direction?
I think I ended up in medical illustration because even as a child, I wanted to figure out why things were the way they were. And so it made sense that I would go into science. So I in high school, we didn't have art. All the art classes were cut because of funding. And so I ended up being like president of math club, so that kind of thing. So I naturally went into the sciences. So I was at University of Illinois as a chemistry major, pre-med. And then when I heard about medical illustration, I thought, oh, there was this other part of me I never explored, which is art. I never took an art class. And I thought, that looks interesting. And I met people in art who I thought were really the most fascinating people on campus because they thought so differently. And I thought, oh, enough of this kind of linear thinking. I'll move over to art for a while. And I thought at that time it would make me a better doctor. But instead I fell in love with art and I proceeded to get a degree in medical illustration because it kind of combined my desire to understand things, to understand through the body. I thought I would understand why things are the way they are if I understood my body. So I studied medical illustration.
And then how were you able to move over into what you're doing now as a full-time artist and teacher?
Once I achieved my medical illustration degree, I realized I didn't want to work for doctors, and I didn't want to make things that other people wanted. Then I realized, oh, I really wanted to make what I wanted to see, and I understood that that would then be the fine arts arena. So I applied to graduate school and went to Drake University in painting.
Great. I'm curious about the form that you've chosen with these orbs. What drew you to the orb?
I was thinking metaphorically of the domes. Like I was traveling. I was taught in Italy, and I was traveling also through Spain and looking at the great cathedrals and thinking in the domes that everything that the people knew at the time was kind of deposited in those domes. It was the highest thing they could aspire to. So it was, in a way, their toe, their theory of everything. And I was curious about theories of everything from physics. And I thought, well, if I were to make a theory of everything, I would need something to contain it, which would be like my cranium, which is also a dome, or like a petri dish. So all these metaphors came forward. And so I thought, I will start working with the dome shape.
And they're really physically intense to put together. I read that some of them have taken you up to 700 hours to,
correct,
to do.
I need some more, but yes.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah, I certainly love my studio practice. I think you have to love it to put that kind of time in. I liken it to, you know, long ago people doing kind of more ritualistic work, like sand paintings as prayer. So it's very meditative. And I just put in hours and hours and hours in. It's meditation. Love it.
And so let's describe for the listeners what the process is, because you end up with, you get these custom-made domes, and then I read you that you do an illustration on them, but then you do a graphite wash over them to kind of erase that and see what images appear,
correct,
from there.
Correct.
So just talk a little bit about that process, how you came to that process, and just tell us a little bit about that.
Each of the curved surfaces has its own geometry, which I don't know until I inscribe on the dome. So I actually take protractors and compasses, and I divide up the dome to try to understand its geometry. And then I draw with silver wire, silver point drawing, which is kind of an age-old tradition of drawing. And after I make these very refined, meticulous drawings, which my mind can control or understand what I'm doing, then I decide to, in a way, obliterate seeing it by running the graphite wash, which for me then opens up these new possibilities. So then when I see it that way, and I can't really control the wash because of the curved surface, it really does what it wants to do. Then I have to go back and heighten with white those things that I want to bring brought out again. And I tried to get the piece as a whole to reside between coalescing and dissolving. So my aesthetic is for a really reduced kind of value, contrast and soft forms.
There's the celestial, the body, there's all these different juxtapositions going on, but somehow you manage to put those juxtapositions together to create a form that's just unified. I was just wondering if you wanted to talk a little bit about that and where all those juxtapositions come from and how you're managing to put them together.
You know, when I'm sitting alone in my studio for hours and hours, I mean, my mind has to be entertained somehow. And so I kind of fuel my mind in a number of ways, like reading poetry, reading contemporary physics. I enjoy thinking about structures and where information comes from, and different systems of different systems of knowledge. And so in my work, I try to layer different different ways to communicate information. So there's always these different layers to it, like the lights are a whole nother layer of information. And then I'm thinking macro, micro scales. And I mean, I dissected the body, and I've also looked at things under the microscope. And then my partner, he is a astronomer. So, you know, I have like this kind of this sense of, and also in quantum physics, you know, when things get really, really incredibly small, then the Newtonian laws fail us to, in order to model them or understand them. And things kind of switch around, and things that were incredibly small all of a sudden become incredibly large. And all that kind of thing interests me, and I try to put all that into one space.
The obstacle things going on with the fiber optics, and then the one where you have an iPod in there, but they're very—it's very subtle. It doesn't hit you over the head with like pyrotechnics or whatever you want to say. I was just wondering how you managed to work that into those structures in that way that you did.
Yeah, I work with such a pre-industrial craft method, but then I work on acrylic, which is oil derived, so plastic, and so I was thinking I wanted to be consistent with materials. So if I was going to have light on them, I would use fiber optics because it's plastic, and then I would have the LED light emitters. And I don't know, there was something. I think I'm a problem solver, and so once I really got a handle of inscribing on the domes and doing what I was doing, then I was like, well, what now can I do to them to add a whole nother world? At first, I thought I would view into the dome. There was this whole hidden space within the dome, like this kind of creative matrix that was dark and held within, and you couldn't see it. So I drilled a hole. And once I drilled a hole, then I thought, what can I put in there? And then I realized, well, I wanted what was in the dome to come out. So I thought I'd do that with the lights. But then I decided with the ones with videos, I wanted the interior of the dome to actually maybe open up to feel more expansive than the exterior. That's how the video started. So I don't know, my mind just kind of takes on things, and if there's a problem to solve, then it makes it fun.
And what drew you to using silver point, which you'd mentioned is something that like Dürer used, and it's something that's very old?
Actually, in Florence at the time, and my students, I was teaching them all the historical materials and methods of painting and drawing, because it made sense to do that there. And we went to Ziki, the art store, and I realized, oh, I could just buy silver point there. I mean, it was like in the store. You didn't have to order it. So I had all the students purchase the silver point, went to the Uffizi to look at the silver point drawings there, and then we went around town and just drew all the angel sculptures because I was really interested in angels. So when I brought the silver point home from Florence, I thought, well, what can I do with this? And then I realized it was one medium I could run a wash over, and the medium wouldn't lift. Like graphite is greasy and it resists. And it also does lift or smudge, but silver point does not. And I thought, oh, there's like real potential here that I could combine silver point with painting. And so that's when I started to mark my I have gessoed surfaces, and I mark them with silver point. I'd actually purposefully tarnish them with sulfur, and then I could run a graphite wash over it. And I was grinding my own pigments at the time because I studied with some Tibetan monks to learn how to grind pigments, and that was home meditation as well. I love process and ritual. I was telling Jeannie Hewlin, who's the chair of the art department, that I actually went and studied with a Tibetan monk just because this idea of ritual is like so important in my work. So I was doing all these things and making my own paint, and then it all just came together. So I guess it was based on Florence.
Prusa's exhibit Non-Equilibrium is on display in the Fine Arts Gallery until February 17th. It's free and open to the public. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Katie Henriksen.